You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by No Side Bible Church.
Announcements, we go to the scripture reading. It's in 2 Thessalonians today, chapter 2, verses 1 through 6. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things? And now ye know what withholdeth that he might be revealed in his time. And Father God, we ask for your blessing on this, the reading of your holy word. In Christ Jesus' name we pray, for his sake. Amen.
Well, we're spending a little bit of money feeding the starlings. But we're also seeing some cardinals come in as well. And they seem to take turns, you know. Starlings come in, then they buzz off, and then in come some cardinals, and they have a bit of a feed. And in about 2 days, my resource is gone. And then I think, well, am I going to reload this thing, or am I going to wait a little while? I decided, Seppi and I was talking, let's just do it once a week. Right? And then we'll make the seed go a little bit further. But we've got also this this feeder, which is for the finches. And it is going down, and we do see occasionally finches come in. And that's really neat. So we're looking forward now for the hummingbirds. So when the hummingbirds come in, we'll put those feeders out. And we've got two of them. One which is going to go on the window, and the one's going to hang from the tree. So we'll soon see. We've also been doing some planting. We've got some nice plants. Oh, man, have we got some nice plants we put in. Flowers and herbs, all sorts of stuff. And they're looking good. They're looking pretty nice. So we've got to keep them watered as the summer goes on. Okay, let's pray. Our God, Father, we thank thee for today, Lord, for all that thou hast given us, the wonderful life we have, the enjoyment of the creation. We ask, Lord, that your Spirit will work in our lives as we open the Scriptures so that we can understand thy holy word. And we ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, well, this is really cool. So we've been looking at a whole lot of different things to do with when these books of Paul were written. Of course, we found over and over again the significance of this study. It's a massively important study. And by the way, I get various questions from people around the country about the study that we're embarked on. And every Sunday, these get loaded up on the rightdivision.com and other places. And people around the world are listening to them, and so I do get some responses from people, and they often guide me a little bit in what to present. And so I'm going to take some of that into consideration today as well. So first of all, let's just look at something to do with the epistles of 1st and 2nd Thessalonians. Because these are remarkable. And I think a lot of people who want to learn about their particular hope, or the hope which they espouse as being theirs, will often go to the passages we're about to look at. And I want to point out that these passages have a context, which is an Acts context. So let's just go across to the book of 1 Thessalonians and chapter 4. We got some context about this. As I said, you can read about the context of the second missionary journey, and you read in Acts 17 about this interesting event that occurred when Paul gets to Thessalonica, and how that there is this rejection by the Jews. So just hold your place on 1 Thessalonians. We will go there. But I just want to show you something next, just to remind ourselves about a little bit of context here, okay? Because getting the context, I think, is really cool. So in Acts 17:1, so hold on one side your 1 Thessalonians, and we'll look at Acts 17:1. Now, when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica. And where was a synagogue of the Jews? Great, you see. Here is the context, right? The context is Jew first. Jew first, man. You go to the synagogue. You don't walk around the synagogue. You go to the synagogue. That's where you go. And it says, synagogue of the Jews. And Paul, verse 2, as his manner was. This is the way it was done, friends. This is how Paul did it. Went in unto them and 3 Sabbath days. See, he is observing the Sabbath. Paul is a Sabbath observant Jew. Yes, a believer in Messiah. And he goes on and it says, in 3 Sabbath days reasoned. Reasoned. That's right. You see, one of the things about any true Christian, any person who is wanting to establish belief, is that it's going to be based upon reason from the scriptures. And you notice that. It says, reasoned with them out of the scriptures. And what scriptures would they be? Well, what we commonly call the Old Testament. He would bring to them their scriptures and would reason from them. And he says in verse 3, opening and alleging. So this is Luke telling us what went on. That Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus, whom I preach unto you, is Messiah, Christ. You see, Christ is the anointed, Christos, which is the Greek way of saying the anointed one, Messiah. And some of them believed. Oh, that's very interesting language. We're going to run out of fingers, I know, but just stay right there. just look at Acts 28, okay? Acts 28. In verse 24. And some believed the things which were spoken. Well, wait a minute, what was the context of the things that were spoken? Well, just the previous verse tells you, it says, both out of the law of Moses and out of the prophets from morning till evening. That's when he was reasoning. Again, similar context, right? Similar context what we read here at the synagogue at Thessalonica. He's reasoning out of the scriptures. And it says, some believed, right? In verse 4 of Acts 17, it says, and some of them believed. And then in Acts 28 and verse 24, and some believed the things which were spoken, and some believed not. And we'll look at Acts 17. Right? Acts 17 and verse 4. And some of them believed and consorted with Paul and Silas, and of the devout Greeks a great multitude, and of the chief women, not a few. I love that expression. Not a few, a great number of them, in other words. But the Jews which believe not. Okay, some believed and some did not believe. The same thing you find in Acts 28. Some believed, some did not believe. And the ones that did not believe, man, did they get angry. Oh, man. They were ready to do Paul in good and proper. And this is where the minders come in. Minders of Paul, believers, brethren, looked after Paul and made sure that he was safely taken away. Finally, he ends up at Athens. And then you can read in the context of Acts 17 how Timothy was left behind. And then Paul was wanting him to come and report. And in 1 Thessalonians, we read about that. So go across now to 1 Thessalonians. What did I just do? I gave you some context of how it is that Paul is writing to the Thessalonians. And it's a context of some believed and some believed not, persecution coming from the Jews, etc. And now in 1 Thessalonians 4, it says this, in verse 13, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren." And I love this about our faith, that it's not a faith of blind obedience and blind belief, as it were, you know. Our belief is based upon reason. It's not ignorance concerning them which are asleep. Lovely, man. It's a beautiful thought, isn't it? That to be dead in Christ is just to be asleep. You know? Just asleep. That's all it is. You're going to have a nice sleep, man. Now, I'm not saying it's all, you know, fun and games. This process of dying is not necessarily going to be great. But at least once that death occurs, it's asleep. And you'll be awakened. By virtue of sleep, you expect to be awoken at some stage, right? "That ye sorrow not even as others which have no hope." Oh, man, without hope. What a terrible situation. And in people who do not have hope, it often breeds anger. That is why people who often call themselves atheists are some of the most angry individuals on the face of this earth. They're angry, man. And you can understand why. Because ultimately, with no hope, this life is worthless. And it goes on, it says verse 14, "For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus, will God bring with him." Oh, lovely man. What a wonderful thing that is, right? "For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep." Not, will not happen beforehand. "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout." Totally consistent, my friends, with what Paul says to the Corinthians. A little bit later on, Paul, he goes to Corinth, and there he promotes the same doctrine. And so you find a repeat of the same doctrine in 1 Corinthians 15. You find the same teaching. What am I telling you all this for? Because that's the context of our lessons, right? We are trying to understand Paul's Acts ministry and its consistency, and it is perfectly consistent with the book of Acts, the doctrine of the book of Acts. And it says here, "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel." Well, wait a minute, man. This is starting to hinge in with Daniel. Now the prophets are coming. Of course it must be the case. It must be the case that what Paul is saying here is going to perfectly dovetail with the teaching that we find in the Old Testament, because that's what Paul was preaching. He was opening and alleging that Jesus is the Christ. From what? From what? From the Old Testament scriptures. This is consistent with what you'll find in the Old Testament scriptures. And it goes on. It says, "with the voice of the archangel." Oh, who are the angels? Ministering spirits to them who are the heirs of salvation. And the heirs of salvation in this context are those who were given the promises from the Old Testament scriptures. That's why you'll find Daniel. You'll see in there the archangel. And it says, "and the dead in Christ shall rise first." You see, that's the hope. The hope is the resurrection. You die, you sleep. Then you breathe in again with the resurrection. "Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds." Wow, a meeting in the clouds. "To meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord." In this way, the resurrection, going out, meet the Lord, in this way you shall be with the Lord. Ever be with the Lord. Verse 18. "Wherefore, comfort one another with these words." And they are a wonderful comfort. And understanding this comfort contextually means that people had a hope that was based upon the Old Testament scriptures. They had a resurrection which was based upon a hope delivered in the Old Testament scriptures. Beautiful, man. Now, what happened with this was that more questions came up. And that's why you get the follow-up epistle. And if you just, before we go to the next epistle, just go across down to chapter 5 and look at this in verse 17. Pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the spirit, despise not prophesyings. Of course, the gifts of the Holy Spirit are moving, man. They're going. They're the real thing, and they're rocking. This is the real thing. And notice what he says. Despise not prophesyings. Now, we were going to have a massive problem if someone came to our fellowship and claimed to have the gift of prophecy and then stood up and then made some prophecy which obviously contradicted the scriptures. We're going to have some real problems. Even if it didn't contradict the scriptures, we're going to have a big problem with such a person that would claim to have the gift of prophecy. Why? Because we understand something about what happened in history with the book of Acts. We understand that there was something new given to Paul the prisoner a little bit later on. Okay? But we've got the context here. Okay, now when you go across to 2 Thessalonians, you get some tremendous statements. If you come down to chapter 2, it says, "Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him." Hey, wait a minute. He's now rehashing the same talk that he gave in 1 Thessalonians. He's rehashing it. Why is he rehashing this? He's rehashing it because some people have come in with false doctrine. And it's one of the responsibilities that we have at this fellowship here to be mindful of the fact of false doctrine coming in to various churches within our communities, within the church at large, that is believers, because a church is simply a group of believers. We're mindful of this. And it says in verse 2, "Let ye be not soon shaken in mind." It's a terrible thing to see people shaken in mind. We're seeing this with this alleged pandemic and what fear will do to people, right? In terms of their minds. Man, it's atrocious. And with fear, I mean, I can remember going to a shop not too long ago where I saw a particular individual who was masked up like you wouldn't believe. I mean, you know, Fauci's trying to get people wearing two or three masks and all this kind of trash, you know. And this person was in a corner in the shop like a scared rabbit. And with this mask on so tight, the rest of her face was nearly going blue. And just very fearful, you know. And one of the things that fear can do to a person is that they are ready to accept another authority. Do you know that? They're ready to take on. They don't want to think for themselves. They want someone else that supposedly has some authority to tell them what to do. That's what fear does. You know? Big government, man. We've got to get some big government in here to tell us what to do. You notice all of this stuff, it's a move against constitutional rights. It's a promotion of big government and a belittling of the individual. That's what it's about. I don't want to carry on with that, but let's just move on because I love that too much. You know, coming down here, chapter 2, and it says, verse 2, "That you be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit." You see, there are spirits that were active, you know, in the Lord's ministry. Man, there were spirits. See, I believe in spirits. See, I don't deny them. I believe in miracles. I believe that miracles happen today. I literally believe in them. The only thing is, my friends, I do not believe that people have these gifts that we read about. You see? But don't try and put me into a little basket and say, well, Wayne doesn't believe that God can do them. I do. I believe he does them. I believe him. And if you get sick, man, I'll pray that God does a miracle on you. And I believe he could. And I would accept it. Totally. But don't come to me thinking that I've got some power. I've got nothing. But I have the scriptures rightly divided. And it says, nor by word, nor by letter. Well, you can see where word comes from. You know, word can come to a person. But notice he mentions letter as from us. Okay, just hold your place there and look at right at the end of 2 Thessalonians. Verse 17, right? So this is right at the end, chapter 3, verse 17. The salutation of Paul with mine own hand, which is the token, the sign. See, it's a token, it's a sign. In every epistle, so I write. Yeah, he had Tertius, who had take his dictation, but right at the end he says, give me that quill, man, and I'm going to show you the fanciest signature that you've ever seen. I know someone that's got a really fancy signature. Looks like a sailboat. And but here, Paul, he put his salutation down here. Okay? Why? That's a sign that this is authentic. Because there are people who were passing off letters as from us. And they're causing problems. And Paul is addressing these problems with this authentic letter. And he goes on, verse 3, let no man deceive you by any means, for the day shall not come except there come a falling away first. Now, this is really cool, right? This is a point which, you know, there's absolutely no doubt that when you read through the book of Acts, that the last days are there. And John mentions it, and he shows the evidence for it. But what Paul does is he makes the time of the last days refined. Paul is all about refining things. Yeah, it's the last days. But before Christ can come, there are certain things that must happen first. Right? So he's about saying, yeah, okay, we've got the last days, but there are certain things that must happen. Number one, number two, number three. He's all about making sure that people get this idea that there is an order to the last days. And he goes on, he says this, verse 3, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first. There must be an apostasy. And that the man of sin be revealed. Oh, okay, so the man of sin's got to come. The son of perdition. Waste. The son of waste. Who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, all that is worshipped, so that he as God, look at this, sitteth in the temple of God. Wait a minute. When this thing was written, there was a temple in Jerusalem. It was there. It was a possibility that the man of sin would be revealed. Jesus Christ could come back, certainly. And the last days were progressing. But before Jesus could come, there was an order of events. And that included this falling away, this apostasy, and also this man of sin be revealed, who, look what it says about this, so that he, as God, sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Boy, that's got to be something to see, isn't it? The arrogance of the son of perdition to do this. But nonetheless, it's going to happen, friends. It's going to happen. But now we've got to address something. Because if we go to Jerusalem now, we do not see a temple there. It's not there, friends. The temple is not there. Well, the man of sin has to be revealed. That's fine. But he's got to sit somewhere. Before the Lord Jesus Christ can come back by inference, the temple must be rebuilt. It must be. There are certain things that must be put in place before the second advent must occur. Can you see how just believing the scriptures, a whole lot of interesting doctrine that people preach just goes out into the garbage can? It just goes. You just believe the scriptures. And it goes on and so it says in verse 5, remember ye not, this identifies time-wise what's going on. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things. Very much into the Acts, right? Very much into the place of Thessalonica. A real physical locality. Really cool. And now you know what withholdeth that he might be revealed in his time. Okay, so there's a time for these things. And there is an order of events. The Lord Jesus Christ is coming back. It's accompanied with this, the voice of the archangel, the trump of God, all of these things. Yeah, but before these things can happen, the man of sin has to be revealed. It's got to happen. And he's got to have a locale. And that locale is the temple of God. There ain't no temple. No temple there. It's got to be built. Are there any signs of it being rebuilt? You bet your life there is. Yes, there are definite signs that it will be rebuilt. There is already a priesthood gathering. They're already organizing everything that's needed to get going. Of course there are forces, but let's not change God's mind. God's mind is here. God will order things as he needs to. So we have these tremendous events that are recorded here about the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. We see supernatural gifts. We see effectively how the Thessalonian epistles are ordered. You can go there and find some of the ruins, which one day I will. Now, we've talked about this whole business of the book of Acts, right? And we're discovering all sorts of interesting things about, you know, that Acts 28, we have a continuance of the preaching of the kingdom of God. And up here I've mentioned a few things that Welsh gives, and a lot of what Welsh has given is really good and consistent in many regards. But there are some things that we need to question, right? For example, there are many who believe that this 2 years where Paul was in prison in Rome is where the mystery was revealed. And that's when he wrote Ephesians and some of these other epistles. Now, I've gone through this, so I'm just going to quickly move through some of these things. Okay, let's just move through these. So this here, this talk that I gave last time has to do with a consistency of interpretation of Acts. So what is the issue for us? Well, the issue for us is, when was it that the prison epistles were written? The teaching which is often given is that in this 2 years, right, the 2 years here, inside here, this is where the mystery was revealed, okay? Now, I'm going to put a little question mark here, but that's the teaching, right? So you've got Acts 28 progressing, and here, okay? In here, this is where the mystery supposedly was revealed. Let us just have a look at this with me one more time, because I want to make this plain. And what is all this here? I'm just showing you some of Bullinger's principles of understanding the scriptures. These are five principles that he's written, which I think will fit very nicely in this context. Just have a look at Acts 28 with me and just quickly have a look at this. I think this is quite cool. So in Acts 28, you have the all-day conference, and it says this in verse 23, and when they had appointed him a day, there came many to him into his lodging, to whom he expounded and testified the kingdom of God. Now, when he says the kingdom of God, we have no doubt what this would entail. Because it goes on, it says, persuading them concerning Jesus, both out of the law of Moses and out of the prophets from morning till evening. So we know the law of Moses and the prophets did not contain any such mention of the mystery given to Paul the prisoner. Didn't contain those things. So you can maintain the preaching of the kingdom of God out of the law of Moses and out of the prophets and never ever mention the mystery. Right? It will never be mentioned. And it goes on from morning till evening. And of course we read this before. Some believe, some believe not. Now, it's interesting to note that where it says in verse 24, and some believe, the scriptures actually, and some were persuaded. And then when it goes on, and some believe not, it actually means, and some were faithless. Faithless. Some were persuaded by what Paul said. Right? And of course, they became believers, naturally. And others just remained faithless. And when they agreed not among themselves, they departed. After that, Paul had spoken one word, well spake the Holy Ghost by Esaias the prophet unto our fathers. Now, we've read this so many times, but remember, this has been said before. This has been stated by the Lord Jesus Christ in Matthew 13 when he institutes these parables. And he even has a more stronger statement there where he says that this was fulfilled. This was fulfilled what Isaiah said. So right back in the Gospels, you can see that judicially Israel was rejecting the truth of the kingdom of God and Jesus the Messiah. And notice it says here in verse 25, well spake. Well spake the Holy Ghost. You see? Well spake. It was fulfilled in Matthew 13. And now Paul says, well spake the Holy Ghost by Esaias the prophet unto our fathers. And then he goes through, you know, about their spiritual condition, which was, you know, basically they were spiritually sick. They got heart disease. They're blind. The ears have become dull. Verse 28, be it known therefore unto you that the salvation of God is sent unto the Gentiles and that they will hear. Now you notice it says hear it. The word it is supplied, but it's natural to be there because they will hear something, right? They will hear this message. And when he had said these words, the Jews departed and had a great reasoning among themselves. And Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own hired house and received all that came in unto him, all. Some believed. Some were persuaded. I wonder whether those who were persuaded, those Jews who were persuaded, would Paul reject them from coming to visit him? And this whole 2 years, this 2 years, what's this about? What's involved with this 2 years? Let's not interject something in here, right? Let's just keep it in its context. Keep it in its context. The context is, he came to the Jews at Rome, and even prior to then, and he gave them the scriptures. He gave these Roman Jews the scriptures about Messiah. Some believed, some did not believe. And then he says, okay, be it known therefore unto you that the salvation of God is sent unto the Gentiles, and that they will hear. Yeah, they'll hear what? The same message that Paul had been given been giving to the Jews. The Jews wouldn't receive it. Well, what's the difference? The Gentiles would. Now, you either say, well, Wayne, you're reading into this, you're just, you know, you're way off target, or you're going to see what I'm seeing here, that the context here has not changed. There's no contextual change. You can't go off to some other passage and then read it in here. That's not what Bullinger agrees with. I don't know anybody that would agree to do that, that really believes in the Scriptures. And so when it says, and Paul dwelt 2 whole years, which is where supposedly the mystery is revealed, what does he end up saying? Look what he says. Verse 31, what are you doing in these 2 years? Okay, he receives all that came to him. Preaching what? The kingdom of God. Well, that's a different kingdom. Well, wait a minute, man. In the context, what does the context have here? There's no difference here. The kingdom of God is back up here in 23. He's preaching a message to the Jews who wouldn't receive it, and then he's going to give it to the Gentiles. And then in these 2 years, what's he doing? Preaching the same kingdom. Preaching the same things. And teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence. No man forbidding. Same thing. So that is why I think it's a big problem, I think, to try and interject into these 2 years the mystery, when what we get in the context of Acts 28 is a preaching of the kingdom of God, which in the context, within the context, is out of the Old Testament scriptures. Right? Just a continuance of the same. I think this is interesting. Okay, cool. And if you look at this concordance of the kingdom of God, the kingdom of God, right? And then 8:12, preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God. You go through all the context of the kingdom of God, the kingdom of God, the kingdom of God. And the context relates to the Old Testament scriptures. Coming down here, Acts 28:31. Preaching the kingdom of God and teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence. 28:23. And when they had appointed him a day, there came many to him into his lodging, to whom he expounded and testified the kingdom of God. 20:25. And now behold, I know that you all, among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God, shall see my face no more. That's what he was preaching, the kingdom of God. Preaching the kingdom of God. And in context, that has to do with the hope of Israel. He was bound with a chain which related to the kingdom of God, the hope of Israel. Interesting, don't you think? Now, I've got some interesting things on rightdivision.com, which you should really check out. But look at this. If you look at just this expression, the kingdom of God, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, the kingdom of God. 7 of them. The kingdom of God. Now, when's the next time you get any mention of the kingdom of God? Colossians 4:11. And Jesus, which is called justice, who are of the circumcision. These only are my fellow workers unto the kingdom of God. Yes, the 8th time. 8 is what? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, and then 8, new beginning, right? New beginning. Where does the kingdom of God change? Prison. Prison. Yeah, but what prison? The prison of Romans, Acts 28? Prison? Don't think so. Mystery's not going to fit in here. It must come later. There must be another imprisonment later on. He's released from Rome. He goes out possibly to Spain. He does other things. And finally, Nero comes in and whammo. There you find him. Now, I had a whole lot of other stuff to teach you, but as per usual, too much stuff, too little time. But you can go through the slides and get this. There's some cool stuff. Man, it's rock and roll, friends. It's really cool stuff. I mean, this is just going to change a lot of things. and help you to understand. You see, what does it matter? What matters is that we get the right interpretation and understand what's going on in the Bible, so that we're not seen to be fudging things all the time. And I believe there's some fudging going on here, some serious fudging, and it's not going to work. So let's not try and force things. Let's try and get the context. Let us pray. Our God and Father, we thank Thee today for all that Thou hast given us, Lord, the preaching and the teaching of the Word rightly divided. We ask, Lord, that You would guide us and lead us as we open up the Scriptures and learn more. We pray for the nation, Lord, that You would restore it, Lord, to the Constitution, but most of all, restore it to Jesus, the One who is the Head, and the One who is the Salvation, and the One who brings life and liberty to all. And we thank Thee in Christ's name. Amen.
His name is wonderful, Jesus my Lord.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.